Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 10 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Lord, I Am Willing, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
I'm going to get myself in trouble to start with here. We'll get the trouble out of the way. When Jesus spoke, he spoke words. Now, obviously, it wasn't English. So when Jesus spoke, he spoke words. Now, my question is, which is the most important, how he said it or the words he said? Now, don't answer it. Please don't answer it. How he said it or the words we said. I mean, we'll live and die over the words he said. But the words he said had a preceding word, and that was the attitude in which he said it. So words have a preceding word. In other words, Jesus spoke words in the spirit of Jesus, right? So how Jesus spoke words did something to the words. I can say to you, used this last week, this analogy, I can have a little dog, and I say, come here, you pretty little pup, and just talk real sweet, come here. Or I can say, come here, you pretty little pup, come on over here. Now, it's the same words, but it's a different spirit. So the spirit in which you say things brings life or death to the words. So when we are here with each other and together, the preceding word was the spirit. It was the spirit in which the words were given. So now I'll ask you the question again. When Jesus spoke, which was the most important? How he said it or what he said? Well, we don't have to give it an answer. We just need to understand one's just about as important as the other.
Right. That's good.
So when we read these words, they have a preceding word that will go with it when you read it. It's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon these words and you read it, then you get the complete Word of God. So is the Spirit important? Yes. This is tremendously important. So when we come into this first service, we are a preceding word to the second service.
That's good.
That's right. We are a living preceding word unto the second service. Or anything that you say, why does the Scripture say to be in the Spirit? It's so that the words that come out of your mouth bring life and not death. So all of a sudden, if we get a higher premium on this thing about how we act, how we live, what is my spirit like when I talk. So we'll use the Word of God, but not give it in the Spirit of Christ, and nothing happens. We're thinking and hoping that the Word of God will just happen because it's the Word of God. I'm not saying it won't. God can do anything He wants to. But Jesus spoke in the Holy Spirit the words that He said. So therefore, life. So all of a sudden we realize, oh, God wants to renew our mind. God wants to do all this stuff in us. Renew a right spirit within me for a reason. And so when we use His Word, things come to life.
Come on.
Now, I know I'm a little ways off from there because I'm not seeing all the life that's in this book come out of the words out of my mouth. And if I really think over my conversations in the last week, please tell me this is not in my blood. It's just the signs of the times. Does anybody have a short fuse these days?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, has anybody just had it or or you just get, or something.
Yes.
I mean, it's in me, and I know it's, I'll blame it on my daddy and my mom and all that, but I know it's in my blood. I know it's in me, but for some reason, I'm doing a better job at getting ticked off these days. And so I've improved, but not in the area. And then the Lord gives me the revelation of the preceding word of the Spirit. And I'm like, okay, God, I got it. I've already got it. I've got it. I get it. And so now I find myself on this long journey again of trying to find the Spirit of God, to walk in the Spirit of God so that the words of God have meaning, understanding that my life and how I present it is the preceding word to the Word. So I don't know why I said all that, but I said it. Now, this pitcher, there's a drop of water. There was once a farm when he took his little grandson to a pond, and he's going to see if he could. He had a rock there, and a little grandson picked it up and threw it in the pond, and it hit the water, and all of a sudden, all of these little ripples, you know, came out from that one place that the rock hit the water. And the granddaddy said, the grandson said, you made all those ripples. And he said, go down there and stop one of them. So the little boy went down, stuck his finger in the water, and he found out he just made more little ripples come out from where he stuck his finger in the water. And the granddaddy said to him, he said, when you threw the rock in the water, it caused a ripple effect. Then you'll spend the rest of your life trying to stop it, but you just make more. Has anybody tried to fix all the messes you've made, only to discover you make more messes?
Come on.
So then the grandfather said, if you want to stop the ripple in the water, you don't throw the rock. So we find that we can affect the ripple effect, but here's the whole point. In the ripple effect in life, what we say and what we do, and when we throw, did you know we throw the rock in the water every day of our life? Starts this ripple effect. And then, in other words, you can go in a room, and I eat a little old restaurant there in Stony Point. I guess you could call it a restaurant. They would be proud of me calling it a restaurant. It's a little hamburger joint. And you'll get a bad cup of coffee and a decent hamburger. And all the farmers go in there, and there's one particular guy comes in. He'll come in, and he'll say one or two things, get everybody riled up, probably about politics. Can you believe that? And then all of a sudden you look up and he's gone. Every time he's gone. And he just enjoys the heck out of it. And he started a ripple effect. That's all he wants to do. He just wants to make it ripple. And then he'll come in, and I want to know what the outcome was yesterday. You know, he's so proud of himself. But he understands how this ripple effect, how it happens. Now, so God, when he went out in creation, he just spoke a word and it created something. But we've got to understand, when we throw a rock in the water, we've just created something. Have you ever wanted just to run away where there's nobody and there's total peace? Just for a little bit, just a couple hours. Give me total peace, no ripples. Right? Just calm water. All right? So we find that we're all living against somebody's ripple.
Absolutely.
We're all living against it. Then we try to change it. We make more. Now, here's the point, the spiritual point. It's important. If I'm going to make a ripple in life, I want to do it with God. I want God's ripple.
That's right.
I don't want my ripple. My ripple, the only way I can fix my ripple is I got to create more ripples, and I'm getting in ripple overload. But with God and in creation, to join God, to join God. Let God, I want to be on that rock when God throws it. And then what comes out from that, you're in it with God. But now there's going to be ripples in life. You can't do without them. They're with us. You'll never find the calm water. Why? Because you were there if you find it. It's always there. Now, just keep this in mind. It's a little abstract, but keep this in mind as we move forward here. Now, the battle is more about us finding the will of God. So, if God's going to make a ripple, if we got a ripple effects in life, things of the Spirit, just mushroom out. You do one little thing, all of a sudden it creates all this other. You're like, how did this happen? In life, we are caught up in a spiritual reality of everything that happens causes a ripple. Now, if you'd like, I'll get into it more, but I promised Brian I was going to get done today. No, I actually said, I'm not going to say that again. Okay. Now keep all this in mind. So we're going to find the will of God. I don't want to create my own ripples. I want to be in there with God. So the battle is about us finding the will of God than it is about finding our future. I wanted to bring this into another dimension. The battle is more about us finding the will of God than it is about finding our future. So when I'm trying to find my own future, I can create my own ripples. I mean, that's the problem. You're going to be creating a ripple one way or another. It's either in your own battles of life or it's with God's battles. For our future is in the will of God. So when you find your future in the will of God, then when you start affecting life and things around you, you're in the will of God. There's a lot going on in our world and our nation today that these ripples are created by man and not God. Created by the dark side and not God's side. There again, the battle of the three sides. The ripple effect is going on. Somebody will say one little thing over here, and somebody's offended in another country over there. I'm like, what? How did he do that? You don't even know each other, and you got rippled, right? You just got rippled. And so you're like, well, what in the world? So we got people throwing these rock bombs everywhere. You got all of these ripples going on out there. But listen, when God drops a bomb, you're going to know it. Call it a tsunami ripple. Because he'll get some attention. Now let's move on quickly. Can we know the will of God? And I've told you this last week. Yes, we can. This is important, though, because this whole teaching is built around this verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by how? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So it says here that we can know the will of God, but yet I stand before you struggling at times to find it. But the book says I can know it. So there's a big gulf between me knowing it. And I am not discouraged. I know I can get there. I know I can find it and discover it. But we can know not only that, it says we can know the perfect will. It doesn't say it's the perfect will of God. Took it up a notch. You cannot look at things that are going on in the world and assume that everything is God's will. We've been over this. We look at the chaos and all of these ripples that are out there, and we know that God's not the author of all these things. Why? Because God's will does not always happen. That's a small statement, but it's huge in moving forward. God's will does not always happen, and there's a reason. And we went over it, but we're going to go over it again today. Why? Because God wants to bring us into alignment with Him and having dominion with Him. Now, when we understand that the Bible's put out there this concept that we can have dominion with God, I'm like, that's is this a fairy tale or is this real? And he says we can have dominion with him. But he just asked us to do one thing. He says, you got to start at home. You got to start at home. You got to have dominion in here. You got to have dominion over the lust and the pride and the sarcasm and the whatever, yada, yada, yada. He's wanting us to bring this under dominion of the kingdom of God. Now, and I threw this in there for those that would appreciate it. Yes, this includes government. God does want us to have dominion there also. Now, can the will of God be stolen? The devil is constantly stealing the will of God from the earth. And what got me started on this thing was where all the prophets declared Trump to be president, another term, and he wasn't president. And that's what got me started. I kind of was beating around the bush, and then I'm just going to say it. So then I just said it, and got a few emails, not many, but the point being was the prophets everywhere said that Trump would be the next president. And the idea here is the prophets were hearing the will of God. Now, some of you might dislike me here, but do I think it was God's will for him to be president? The answer is yes. Now, was he? No. Now, the only word of God that I got on the whole issue was God. I felt like the Lord spoke to me that he put him in the first time, the people had to put him in the second time. That's the only thing I heard. And so, but do I think it was his will? I do. I mean, if for nothing else, for abortion and a lot of these. Now, listen, I'm not talking about the person, Donald Trump. I wouldn't marry the guy. I don't care. Even in the setting we're in today, I wouldn't marry the guy. Okay, he's not my type. So, boy, I went south. Okay, let me get back on track here. Ripple, I got to blame Ripple there. Somebody throw the rock. Okay, I fell to the Ripple. But the point being, the prophets, I think, were hearing the will of God. But what they did, they declared it as a future event. Are you getting that one? So we're to live a life, a prophetic life of declaring the will of God. Understanding, it doesn't mean it's always going to happen, but it is his will. Well, I'd be happier with knowing I'm in his will than if it happens. I just want to hear the will of God and the wisdom of God. Now, restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God. So we know that God's will doesn't always happen. So we find ourselves in a church. We find that Jesus died on a cross. Why? To restore you and me back into relationship with God. But this for a reason. And the reason is God has now restored us back into relationship with him so that we will carry out his will upon this planet. It kind of makes hogwash out of the idea you got saved for God to make you happy. That's not in the plan. And it just so happens there's greater happiness and fulfillment because your future, you have a future in the will of God. And that's the greatest place of fulfillment and happiness. Restoration is God's will, but we must believe this. Even though we do not think someone is worth restoring, we must remember this in 1 Peter, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with himself, restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. But you got to understand the backstory. The backstory is it's God's will for us to have dominion over this earth with him. Backstory. You got to remember, what would it be like if you went to a movie and every movie you went to, you came in halfway? You're going to sit there and think, oh, I wonder who the main character is. I wonder why that guy did that or what's that? And what's the to come into a movie halfway is a bummer, right? So God wants us to understand the backstory, the beginning of this thing, so that you understand it when you're in the middle. But as Christians, we tend to come into the scriptures just every which way, not understanding the backstory and what in the world's even going on. And then we get disillusioned. And we're always trying to make God's word somehow fit to my personal life to benefit me. You know what I'm saying? So, but we want it as a prophetic people. You can't do that. You have to get the backstory. You got to see what's going on, why God said what he said, where he said it, and it's going to happen. So we're as a people of God, we're understanding, we're wanting to discover the perfect will of God, and then we're wanting to declare the will of God. And as prophetic people, you got to quit predicting the future. You might be hearing the will of God, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Brian gave me a different word. What was that word you said you started using, Brian?
Desire.
He was struggling a little bit with will of God, because all of a sudden when he hears the will of God, he hears that's going to happen. So he changed it out and put the desire of God, which I think is fine. Some translations even have that. So, but in understanding it, you can see that we're in a battle on this earth, and it's good versus evil. And so you either bring people into the goodness of God, or you try to make what's evil good. And that's where we are today. We're trying to make good evil and evil good. But anyway, so God's wanting to restore. Therefore, we are never to give up on anyone. What all does God want to restore? Everyone. Now, something happens when you give up on somebody. Now, I want you to catch this and go with me here. You can't give up on anyone. It's not just a good thought. It's of necessity, because once you give up on one person, you have put limitations to the anointing of God.
That's good.
It just happens. You put limitations. Can you see what I'm saying? So God can restore all things. And the anointing of God, as I said last week, is right outside of all things. If you want to get to it, you got to sit here and believe God can do anything he wants to, anytime he wants to, and God can fix anything that's broken. He can create something new if he wants to. You can't put limitations on God. It's not about you getting fed up with somebody and me getting fed up with somebody. Aren't you glad? It's not about that. Don't put limitations on God. Now, when you don't do that, you do not limit your anointing, because you have to agree in faith with God to get the anointing it takes for the moment. Are you with me? Now, let's go. If we do, we will lose our job or our anointing, which I just covered. Now, restoration has many benefits. When something or someone has been destroyed, it can have a greater impact after restoration has taken place. Hard way to get there, but still it can have greater impact. It will be of a better quality. So, God is in the restoration business. He's in the restoring. So why are we here? To restore anything you have that's broken. Why is God here? Is to restore anything that you have that is broken. God is in the restoration business. If you drove a car, it'd probably be a restored 39 Chevrolet Coupe. Because that's what my friend likes. He's in restoring things, all things. Now, I'm not expecting you to know where that is, but there's an island off of Texas. 1900, there's a hurricane came through. Anybody give me the name? Galveston. There was a hurricane came through. That was an island. That was the greatest city of all of Texas at one time was Galveston. A lot of the old buildings of Texas are, and some of those survived, by the way. On the left, you see the destruction, and on the right, you see when it was restored. Same street, like 40 years later, but that was the devastation on the left. Now, the point being, God's not restoring you back to who you were before you fell. I mentioned this to you. I took you through the revelation of understanding God's restoring you back unto whom you were in his mind before the foundations of the earth. You remember that one? So where are you headed? You're not headed to where you were before you fell or got in trouble or something. You weren't that good then. He's restoring us back to who we are in His mind before the foundations of the earth. What are you going to be like in heaven? Who you were in the mind of Christ, who you are in the mind of God. So to come find out, so here's what happens. We were in His heart before He was in ours.
Absolutely.
Isn't that kind of huge? We were all in His heart before He was in ours. We're just kind of trying to catch up. Now, supernatural restoration of the will of God. So we've been talking about the will of God. What is God's will? We want to find out what God's will is. We want to be agents of God's will. We understand that He wants to restore all things. So what that means, He wants to use everybody in here in that restoration process. So when you come to a church or you're living life and you're in a, quote, ministry, it's always a ministry, it's a ministration of what? Restoring. That's what it is. You're in the restoring business. Number one, we want people to be born again. We want to be restored back into relationship with God. And then God wants to keep working and restoring the rest of us. So, listen, people, the more we're restored, the more our preceding word brings alive His words. Is anybody with me? And listen, it's fun. I'm not there, but I've experienced a little bit. And I, son of a gun, if I'm in first base, second base is going to kill me. It's going to finish me off. Because as we restore, as God restores us, how we think, He renews our mind, and He does this overhaul job on us, and then all of a sudden we start saying what the will of God is out of this book, and then it happens. We're like, well, why didn't it happen 5 years ago? It's because your preceding word or the spirit of it has got to be upon the words. If I didn't believe what I was telling you here today, I wouldn't have the Spirit of Christ on me to give it. And if I have the Spirit of Christ on me to give it, it should have life. You should be able to feel it in here. Now, watch it. Psalms 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a what? Okay. We've been in the will of God. Now we're going to transition into a willing spirit. So you got a preceding word, two words, and so that means I have a preceding spirit to words, and I asked which was the most important. And I, when I called the dog, I promise you, if my spirit doesn't equal what my words are, the dog is going to go the other way, right? It's the spirit that draws. You see, the Spirit draws it. That dog, that puppy dog doesn't understand English. Right? It doesn't understand pretty little puppy dog. It don't understand those English words. It's the Spirit that draws it. And so as we come in here together as this group of people, just believe this. We're the preceding word to this worship that's coming up.
Come on.
We really are. If you've been in a service where you have more miracles during worship than any other time, it's because the Holy Ghost is just going in and out. Just like, boy, can you imagine the Holy Ghost gets somewhere and says, boy, I can be free here. You know, don't you want it to the Spirit of God to delight in us and to delight in this place? Now, restoration is to restore our divine relationship with God. That's what restoration is about. Listen, we have not, our divine relationship with God has been left untried. There's a lot to this relationship with God that we have not tried. We have not experienced. Heaven must receive Him until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. Restore what? Everything. So we're headed into Revelation 21 and 22 just as hard as we can go. And it's there that we're going to see a new heaven and a new earth. Now listen to me. We are in a situation right now, God is going to restore everything. But we're in the situation of restoring people. That's what the day of grace is, the grace and mercy of God, is to restore people. All things are going to be restored in the end. First thing to be restored in the will of God, important. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold with your free spirit, Psalm 51. First thing to be restored is what? Is what? First thing to be restored in the will of God is what? Restore to me the joy. Joy. With what? Your what? Free spirit. What is, and this is the way the prophetic always works. What's the preceding word to free spirit in that verse? It's joy. See, free spirit's got a preceding word. It's got a spirit word. See it? It's joy. So joy is the preceding word to a free spirit. God forbid turn some of us loose in here free. I'm sorry. Ripple, Ripple, come back, Ripple, come back. Stick my finger up. Ripple. We don't want to be freed in some of our preceding words that we carry. We should never be hopeless. We should always be hopeful because that is what? It is the will of God. So when we find ourselves hopeless, we need to know that. Joy, gladness, and restoration all go together. The joy of the Lord is what?
Our strength.
It is our strength. So why is joy a big deal? In the spirit, it's where your strength comes from. It's not just sit around happy, okay? There's purpose behind it. There is spiritual strength behind joy. So if you find yourself feeling weak, it's because your joy factor is coming down because your strength comes through your joy. And you have joy because you are thinking on these things. So we're getting stinking thinking, which causes us to lose our joy, which causes us to lose our spiritual strength. And then the dark world is happy because they have accomplished their goal. Now, joy is the explosion of the anointing. That's right. Does anybody want to explode? Now listen, I've told y'all my little story. I'm not going to tell it again. It was very humiliating. I'll give you a little short snippet. I went to Toronto to get to make an observation of joy. People were laughing. You know the laughing thing that annoyed everybody. It annoyed me too. Listen, I went up there the second night or third, sitting at the back, observing as a studious Bible student would do, watching God move, or was it God? Now, I don't know what, if it was God or not, but joy slapped a slobber out of me. Now, that'd either make a country song or a good worship song. But nonetheless, all of a sudden, I was sitting back there, and I was observing. I mean, it was just chaos. Everybody, all this laugh. I said, would you let the preacher preach, somebody? Can't even hear the guy, and he kept going like everybody could hear him. You couldn't hear a thing. And I thought, this is so disrespectful. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, like cranking an old truck with a dead battery. And then all of a sudden, I got my motor running. And I laughed so hard. I guess it was laughter. I couldn't breathe. You know, as a little kid, you know, you'd laugh so hard like you could. This goes way beyond that, way beyond that. I couldn't breathe. I knew I was going to die in Toronto, Canada, because I couldn't breathe. And I was actually very loud. I didn't like that. So humiliating, so embarrassing. If you're in Toronto and people turn around and look at you, it's not good. That was not good. That was so not good. I was so thankful that God let me do it in another country, where I knew nobody, and then I end up telling it everywhere I go. So the joy, it just slapped slobber out of me. I couldn't, even on the airplane ride back, it hit me, and people turn around in the plane, look at you, and it was just terrible. So what in the world did I tell you all that for? Oh, joy. So, yeah, joy. So what happened was, I noticed after that subsided, and it was actually about a week or so, after it subsided, I had been deposited as joy. I was kind of happy about everything. So the experience of the laughter left behind joy within me, and in the process, it humiliated the pudding out of me. And evidently, I needed my pride must have been bad because he really did it. Listen, I will tell you this. I got carried out of the service in Toronto. You don't carry anybody out of the service in Toronto. Well, I did. I was just so humiliated. My pride must have been on scale 1 to 10, 11, because he sure got... So, but I noticed that the joy stayed in my heart. I noticed that I was very strong in the Lord, in His Word. I noticed that my faith was tied with the joy somehow. I really don't understand it. And I think there's a short course to joy and there's a long course to joy. If I am going to suggest a course, I would take the long course. That means as you study His Word and you repent and you get happy. And I don't know what that was. But anyway, so you can get the joy deal, but I know that it's real. The joy is real because I gained tremendous spiritual strength after the joy. I don't call it an impartation. I call it an attack. My joy attack that I went through and that I lost, tremendously lost that one. And by the way, the joy, I still have this element of joy. I can start talking about it, I can feel it. And if you'll notice, I'm going to go into something else because I don't want to display it. I can feel it when I talk about it. It goes to stirring down in your belly. Okay, the will of God comes through His anointing. Okay, got it. I think my testimony blew that one. Okay. Now, the will of God comes through His anointing. So we're talking about the will of God. We're talking about the joy of God. And the joy of God is where this strength comes through. It takes spiritual strength to hear and see the will of God. Now, watch this one right quickly. 1 John. But the anointing which you have received from Him does what? It abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So as we abide in Him, then that anointing comes alive in us. See that? Oh, there it is. The same anointing. Now, God's will moves through this anointing. In Luke, Jesus quoted and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set those who are oppressed free." Here's what happens. This anointing is in us. This anointing is released or explodes under the heading, if you will, of the joy of the Lord. Listen, the devil doesn't look for it there. Okay? It's hidden. It's at a good spot. It's being preserved under the joy. Did you know that? How does it affect you when somebody laughs in your face? Right. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're laughing like, yeah, this is not touching me. The joy of the Lord is where the strength of this anointing is found. Now, and it's the same anointing that sets the captive free. There's payback when the will of God is stolen, and it is 10:31, and I must stop again. And Brian, I didn't make it. Okay, I hope that you gained to this point. You can see the preceding word. Understand the ripple effect. What we do in here has a ripple effect, good or bad, on this next server. Everything, every day of life is like that. We do make a difference. So, Lord, it's my prayer that right now that we'll all just repent of any unforgiveness or whatever's in our hearts, that we might be able to prove what is your will. It seems to me, Lord, and I hope by those that are with me, that it is your will for us to worship you with great joy. This next, just going right into it, with great joy and just with a grit, a grit down in our craw of the strength of the kingdom of God, that no sickness may stay in this house, that no lost soul can stay in here and not come into the saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, anybody that's watching online, or we just pray right now for anybody, for lost online watching, that for their salvation or any sickness, Lord, we pray and I ask that your joy would be released in this place, this day, and that we could be found inviting your Spirit to restore us in this place. And all of those that agree said, amen and amen.